To the sound show. I'm going through Logic Pro this morning. I'm not using a guitar rig going through my broadcast software, which I usually do when I go into the board with my electric. Boring. Who cares? So Logic Pro has actually got a pretty extensive set of guitar tools. It's actually one of the main options when you start a new track, when you start a new project, and then when you start a new track, it gives you the option. Like, is this audio, a software instrument, a drummer, or a guitar or bass? Which is basically the same thing as an audio, but it's so common that people are plugging a guitar right into their computer and using Logic Pro as like an amp simulator / effects bank. That's part of the thing. Well, I can hear increased crispiness in my voice because I turn on the air button. The air button is generally considered desirable. I don't know what you all think. Maybe you don't know. Not don't know, but don't notice, don't care. This patch is called Dublin Delay, and it used to be one of my favorites, but I'm playing it now. It's not so great as I thought it was. I don't know. Should we play with guitar effects? Maybe we'll do that. Let's clean up the channel strip. Do remove all effects. We'll reset channel strip. If I can even find it. Yeah, here it is. Okay. You can still hear that. So that's zero. That has nothing. All the sound, it's still pretty unique. You know, it's this piezo pickup with nylon strings. Let's throw on some effects that I like. So audio effects. Let's do the first one that I like. Modulation. And we'll do I don't know if I should just go with the same thing. Let's go with the ring shifter. The ring shifter does some odd things. So let's go open up the library so I can be lazy. And the ring shifter is odd because it does a couple of different things, and I haven't quite figured it out. One of them is like a modulation-y, kind of a flanger phaser. And the other one is just like these really bizarre, like... And it's got a delay built in too, so I think it's kind of a powerful effect. Thank you. She has some regular chords with this. And it's not real musically friendly. I mean, that's more of like a gimmick in a way. That was a D chord, by the way. This one's a double mod. So that's musically useful, but it's got a lot of that funky kind of combination of delay and phaser. So it's an odd little effect. It's got a delay in there. But this is what I hear. It has the audio effect of a delay. It's got modulation, and it's got that funny ring mod kind of. I mean, I think that's the name of the effect that I'm hearing is called a ring mod, and that kind of makes that tinny kind of bell sound. It turns everything into kind of an old record sounding tinfoil kind of bell. And that is one of the things I'm hearing. But this is actually called a ring shift. So I think they've combined like delay and modulation and then a ring mod into one effect. So maybe this would be like worth looking up like a tutorial or something, because they don't really know how to use it that well. It's just all the presets that seem to do odd. Like, I mean, let's listen to that. Actually, many of these presets are named after drum things. Like, I've got one called Drum Loop Ring Effects, and I've got Hi-Hat Modulator, so it's maybe more intended for, like, electronic, dancey kind of music, where you do strange things to the drums. Hi-Hat Shifter. That's pretty annoying. Some of them are obviously more musically useful than others. When I say musically useful, I mean you can hear the pitches. And the pitches are like normal, not shifting around multiple voices on one pitch. There is some multiple voice stuff going on here, but it's clear enough so you can kind of hear what's going on. This patch is called Mutants. And after playing all these patches, I promise I will tweak some of the knobs myself. That's what I don't normally do that, because I just don't get good results, because I don't know. Now that sounds like a real exaggerated, like a ring mod. That's like what a ring mod should sound like. Like I could almost see using this. In some way, you couldn't really use it to play a discernible solo over chords, because I'm not really getting a real discernible pitch. Do we dare try a chord? Let's do a complex jazz chord. Huh. it's interesting, like, the first attack is really what you're hearing there. And just the ringing, when it rings out, it kind of disintegrates into static. So you can't, don't get that chord effect. It's just the initial attack. And then the resonance, I guess the, I don't know what you call that, like just the sound fading out. It becomes less and less pitched as time goes on. But this is called Mutants, so this is phasing vocal. So I bet you this is going to be musically useful. Yeah, that just sounds like a flanger or a phaser. I can't tell a flanger or a phaser apart. A flanger or a phaser apart often. Smell trouble. Slow phase. So I guess that implies that it's a phaser. So yeah, I'm hearing the three different things. There's a ring shift, or a ring modulator, some modulation, either a phaser or a flanger, and then a digital delay. And it's kind of combining all three of these. So I really don't know how to use this effect very. This one is called Smooth Ringer. That's kind of implying that it's using the ring mod, but its level is so low, it kind of sounds like. You don't get that tinfoil old record bell effect. Space shifter. That's definitely, you can hear the ring mod on that. But it's also got some pitch in there. This is an interesting one. Because if you really wanted to, if you really liked that sound of ring mod, but wanted some actually musically useful chords, you would use this setting. I kind of like this. Then what it does with that delay, you kind of find yourself strumming or picking it up in a rhythm that matches the delay. Kind of like playing with a metronome or playing with a drummer. I think that's a lot of what people like about delays. It's kind of restful, you know, it kind of locks you into a groove sometimes. Okay, the final patch under warped, and then I'm going to start playing with things. Vocal phrase follower. So it seems like the main thing that's going on here is delay. although here's some warbling. Wah, 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 wah. So I think there's a lot of potential with this effect, but let's see if it's got an initial presets. Recall default. That just seems like gentle modulation. Okay, so it's got, I need a tutorial here. It's got a frequency shift, single and dual. These are just buttons. Do my little trick where I can use my mouse hand and I'll just do a trill, a continual trill with my fretting hand, and I'll just click buttons. That's dual, that's single. Okay, so the ring mod. Woo! So that's interesting. Okay, so at zero, let's try to put it right at zero. It's almost like a tremolo. I'll turn it up. Yeah, that's more tremolo than phaser, don't you think? Weirs. And here, then it gets so fast that you starts to get into that ring mod territory. Let's turn it all the way up. 5,000. Over 9,000. That's interesting that you can actually hear the pitches more when it's so fast, but... Yeah, the real bizarre stuff is in the middle. This is the frequency dial. Here's more buttons you can push. LIN versus EXP. That's so bizarre. Strike there, Temple of the Dog. Copyright. Oh, it's so weird. And I haven't even played with the delay yet, so we'll turn on the delay now. Sync. I don't hear any delay. Level, turn level up. There we go. Ooh. Huh. So that doesn't... Okay. Oh, I see. I see why it works well with the delay, because you got the multiple notes going with the delay, and every note sounds different because it's being passed through this funny ring shift thing. I'm not going to do this all day, but I will do it for half the show. The show must go on. Oh, it's got a dry wet. That's useful. Isn't that a relief? Normal? So no matter how weird the ring mod gets, you can put the dry wet over towards dry and just get mostly a normal guitar tone and just have your ring mod be doing funky things on the side. If you like that sort of thing. Do it all the way wet. That was the Hard Times Cafe. It was a chili place, and that was their motto, was I like mine all the way wet. It's supposed to be like a double entendre. So we could say that with effects, too, on the dry, wet. A lot of them have a dry, wet setting, so you can say, I like mine all the way wet. I think if you want to just get really funky, you do it all the way wet. Okay, there's something called a sidechain here, which is something I don't really understand. I think it has to do with like outputting the signal to some side chain of effects and then running it back in. I don't really get it, man. Single. Dual. It sounds different, but ooh, that changed something. That's the LFO. I've heard that before. Like, maybe SMJ could probably tell me more about LFO. That's some kind of synthesizer. It sounds like almost like a FM synthesis radio frequency thing. Like, if you turn it all the way up. That's kind of nice at zero. Turn the delay off if we can. It is pure ring. So useless playing chords. Teehee. Kind of fun. I made it normal again. Tremolo kind of effect. See what happens if I turn the LFO up on this kind of lower setting. I wonder if there are people that really know what they're doing with this effect, that can kind of imagine a sound and know how to get that sound and like tweak the knobs. Because I'm thinking that like most people are just like play with the knobs randomly until they find something that they kind of like. Very musically useful. But I've never been one for tremolo. I just don't dig it that much. Anyway, let's fool around a little bit more. All right, what should we do? Put everything in kind of the middle range, I guess. Yeah. Including the, no, let's leave it all the way wet. Turn off the delay. It just confuses me. It's funny how over the long term there are these changes in the sound that I am not really knowing why they're there. Maybe that's the LFO that's doing that. Let's try turning it to zero. Yeah, I think that was it. Is the LFO all the way up? It's turned all the way down, and it's probably going to be exactly the same. Probably blow out your speakers. Sorry. Okay, let's keep it on zero. Let's keep the. What does envelope follow do? That's at zero. This is all the way up. I don't hear a difference. All the way down. Oh, maybe it only works when the LFO is turned up. Shall we experiment? I don't understand what this does. This is so new. See, this is why I don't play with effects that much. I think I'm just really addicted to things that sound good that I don't have to think about very much. So I just turn on, I just use a patch and I'm like, hey, this sounds good. Because I think I'm more of a guitar player than a computer person. That's really what it is. So I like to play the guitar. I like to have somebody else do my effects and like arrange all my sound parameters for me, aka Logic Pro. But as I have often predicted, the rewards of doing it yourself are manyfold. Make the LFO zero again. Now the envelope follow shouldn't matter what that's on. I That's sounding tremolo-y. Almost heard like the pitch shift down there, didn't you? You know, I still haven't even played with all the controls yet. Feedback. Turn it all the way up. This is going to be bad. Ugh. All the way down. Stereo width. I guess that just... And then all the way over. So that's cool. Here's more envelope follow LFO controls. Ooh, weird. Huh, it shifted so fast there. You heard a pitch. Sometimes. Bizarre. Here's more things I can play with. Here's the envelope follower. It's not even turned on. There's a little power button, and it's off. When I turn it on, all hell will break loose. Are you ready? Don't hear any difference. It's not doing anything. It must be dependent on some other setting somewhere. Like it only works. Dude. I don't hear a difference, yeah. So these bottom controls, I don't understand. I can't make them do anything. It must be some... Maybe change this. No, that didn't do it. So, I don't know, dude. But I think I made good progress today. I discovered some... I don't know. I didn't discover anything, but I played with some buttons and I affected the sonic landscape. Which is something I don't ordinarily do. So watch this. Back to just normal, clean, into the board, no effects, pure guitar. Although, it's got the Godin patented onboard EQ. So I wanted to play you something. So I'm going to put my guitar down for today. I think I will just do that. Bear with me, sir. Ooh, unstrap everything, unplug everything. It's got this, this is one of the things I don't like about this guitar. Well, is that it's battery powered. I don't like having to constantly worry about whether or not there's enough battery. So, they even say in like the instruction book for this guitar that you got to unplug it between playing sessions. And I find that kind of annoying. Like, cause if you leave it plugged in, it'll be a continual battery drain. And that was especially true when I was using when I originally bought this guitar, I kind of was kind of a New York, inadvertent New York. When I originally bought this guitar, I got it with, what was it? A Roland guitar synthesizer, because I just was obsessed with the idea of turning my guitar into a synthesizer. And I later discovered that that was like kind of pointless, especially when I have Logic Pro synths. And like the tracking was never what I wanted it to be. The sound library, the Roland sound library was not great, which ultimately in a way didn't matter because you could use it to trigger other synthesizers, which I did on one of my old shows, but that was just a pain in the butt, you know? So it was just ultimately something I didn't want to deal with. So I ended up selling it. In order to use this guitar synthesizer, you used a patented 13-pin Roland connector, and this thing drained battery like crazy. Ooh, hear that? Chainsaw. Jim is doing wood stuff outside, so I'm going to go help him after my show's over. But we had PG&E came through our house and did like the California thing, which is like, you know, issued a mandate and went and did it. So they went through all these properties and cut down all these trees that were around power lines, which I guess is a good, it's a good thing when you consider it like from a society perspective. Like if this happens to everyone, statistically, the fire risk will go down. It's kind of like mask wearing. From an individual perspective, yeah, it might suck, but statistically, from a society perspective, if everyone does it, then the transmission rate goes down. So California is really into that whole society thing, as you may know. So PG&E came onto our property and just chopped down all these trees. It was kind of depressing because, you know, that was the reason that we got this property initially. It was really my mom. She loved all the trees. So she would have been, she's turning over in her grave right now because PG&E chopped down all these trees. But now I'm kind of used to it. But anyway, they left all these tree corpses all over the property. And that was actually kind of, it was a bad decision that we made. We were like, okay, well, let's keep them and then sell it for firewood. But it's a big pain in the butt, and you just get like $100 or something. So they would have hauled it all away if we had told them to, but they didn't. So now we're in the process of chopping things and splitting things. We got a wood splitter, and I'm going to haul it down. We're in conjunction with my neighbor. We're hauling all of this wood down to a place where it can be like sold. So big pain in the butt, a lot of extra work. You know, I guess that's just, I kind of think that property ownership is not for me. I remember living in an apartment, and it's just so nice having everything taken care of for you. Just like when things go wrong here, it's like, and all the stuff is completely beyond me. Like this big fancy propane generator and the propane system and the fire sprinkler system. If something goes wrong with it, it's like you're totally up a creek. And it's like sometimes you can't even get someone to come out and fix it because people are so afraid. This is in the case of the sprinkler system. They're so afraid of liability. It's another one of those California things where all houses built after a certain date are regulated to have a sprinkler system. And then it's like nobody wants to touch that because it's got the shadow and specter of big government behind it. Like if you mess it up, then they could be seriously liable. Like if your house, the sprinkler doesn't work or something. And we had one guy, he didn't want to even touch it because he was afraid of setting off the alarm. And then the neighbors would freak out because that's like fire season. So we can't get anyone to fix our leaking water tank. It's really frustrating. So I don't know. I don't know how most homeowners do it. I guess there are some people that have these general contractor type abilities that are actually, can actually sort of DIY themselves into repairing some of these things, but that's not me. I'm not mechanically inclined. So anyway, that's why I like living in an apartment, and you just sit in your little box all day and that everything's taken care of for you. I like that. I like that system. And I kind of miss, I mean, it is nice. I mean, you know, I had this recent experience where I was in the Sacramento area for the fire evacuation. And it is really nice having everything so convenient. You know, you just, everything's within less than a mile. There's something, you can find what you need. I remember I went to the library. I wanted to go to the dentist. I never did that, but I was going to go to a dentist. It was like less than a mile away. Went to the library. I got my smog checked. You know, you go shopping. The Safeway is right there. Here, it's like everything's a half hour drive away. And even then, like, the amenities kind of suck. Like the library here kind of sucks. Like the Placerville Library is not that great. The Carmichael Library is much better. So, and then of course the price that you pay for living in Carmichael for all this convenience is that it's ugly as sin. It's just a concrete jungle of no urban planning and just like the nastiest thing you can imagine. It's ugly. It's really ugly. And I don't know if you can appreciate how ugly it is until you've lived out in the country. But here you look out and it's like this pastoral paradise. But there's nothing to do. Everything's far away. It's not convenient. So I don't know which ultimately I would choose in the long run. You know, if I had total control over my life, which I don't, but anyway. So let me, I'm going to close this. Actually, I think I might save it. No, I'm not going to save it. Okay, so I'll close this. Close. Don't save. And then I'm going to open a new project. Classical-esque. So this is just something I was playing with, and I kind of like the way it turned out, so I'll play it for you. It's got that staggered thing where one instrument comes in, and I did like a counterpoint thing where I had, well, you'll hear it, you'll hear it. That was classical-esque, so I kind of like it. It turned out to be a minute and 35 seconds long, and I guess there's more stuff I could do with it if I wanted to. Now, I guess I'll do the thing where I just go through the different sounds. Mute, 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 mute. Although, it's not really necessary because you heard everything come in one at a time. But anyway, it's got this harpsichord riff. And that's just in C. And I played this with a real slow tempo, so I could get it on the beat, as on the beat as I could. Then, of course, I did a quantize. And then I shifted the beat up to 100 beats per minute. And it's got the exact same thing that comes in on another... what we could do is we could just play around. Let's build another track. Ooh, you hear that chainsaw? That's quiet now. Okay, so I'm going to take this, I'm going to do, sometimes it doesn't work, so hold down the option, carefully thinking good vibes, so it works. And it worked because I was thinking good vibes. So let's try it with three tracks of this harpsichord. That's actually, I think, that doesn't really work, because it's so many, and that's such a simple riff that it just ends up sounding like almost like a digital delay or something, and then the one note just keeps playing over and over and over again, and you really, it just seems kind of uniform. So let's delete this track that I just made, and I think, I experimented with that before, but we'll just hear that little canon again. I guess that's what that is in the classical sense, when you have the same sequence of notes but you play it kind of staggered. And I thought a beat would be nice. Anyway, so I don't think you really need to go one by one in these. But anyway, it's a picked bass. It's my tool bass that I'm going to get sued by Maynard James Keenan. Although the Maynard James Keenan version, he uses a digital delay. but it's that picked, it's a picked bass with a flanger. And I think this is one of Logic Pro's better sounds. It's even got, I remember I used the wrong term, I called it a fret slide, but it's actually like a fret squeak. Like when you're sliding your fingers across the string but not fretting anything, it's like it makes this kind of squeaky, metally sound. And it's got that in there, but I don't know exactly how to trigger it. There was. You heard that back there. I kind of like the sound of this. You can play it like a piano, just. And the thing with electric bass is when you start with fake electric bass, when you start getting high up, it really doesn't sound very realistic. Like even here. I think those notes exist. Like you can get that high on the bass. Hold on, let me see. I think that would be the lowest note on the bass. So then this would be the A string, D string, the G string. So then the octave from the G string, 12th fret. That doesn't sound too weird. But I think electric basses will sometimes go up to the 24th fret, like an electric guitar. So it would be an octave higher than that. And I think that just doesn't sound realistic to me. Like I can imagine an electric bass, and when you're playing really high up like that, like near the 24th fret on the high G string, it has like a special sonic quality because the strings are so fat and huge. And you're making the scale length so short by fretting them. It sounds kind of cool in its own right, but it doesn't sound like a bass. It really does not sound like a bass being played high. So that's my only criticism of the Logic Pro picked bass. Oh, there's the chainsaw again. Fascinating. Fascinating. That was a low C. Although, some of these basses that are 6-string and 7-strings, they get a low B. So what would that be? This is E1. That's the bass. It's actually only an octave lower than the guitar. Is that true? I think it's true. Yeah. Because I can sing an E2. That's an E2. E1, I can't sing, obviously. And that's a low bass. So then it would be a low B would be below that. That's pretty low. That's, as I say, that's pitch challengingly low. Can you hear that? As in, can you pick up the pitch? It's playing an octave higher. That's like a common bass thing to do, just to kind of just play with those octaves. So anyway, bass, fun stuff. I don't know. People like the bass because it's so low. I'm intelligent. Try going really high. That sounds like a harpsichord. This is the electric bass, theoretically. Thank you. Chainsaw. It's funny. I can hear it very clearly. I think I'll check the archive, but I think it's probably audible to you too. I'm waiting for more chainsaw. Here's it. Oh, I have my window open. That's probably. Oh, it's got smoky again. It was not smoky for a long time, but then suddenly it became smoky once more. And we have some air purifiers here, and they're running. But it was hot, so I wanted to open the window even though it was smoky. So I closed the door to my room so it would just stay smoky inside my room, because I'm sacrificing for the sake of being cooler. See what? Oh, it's 70. Oh, it's 70 outside and 71 in here. So it's about time to close the windows anyway, but I can do that in like 8 minutes when my show is over. So, okay, so then finally on this, going back to my classical-esque, the final track is my favorite patch, the Berlin Experience. It was actually a mistake. I had a major third instead of a minor third, but it had this kind of nice Picardy dominant effect, so I saved it. Ah. Let me play. Let me mute. I'll mute the beat, and I'll mute the harpsichord. So we'll just hear the bass and the Berlin Experience, and we'll come in right when the Berlin Experience starts. Kind of abruptly cut off there, but I didn't want to start a new measure. So I don't know what I'll do with this. It's more than I usually do for pieces. It's like more than just a riff, but it's not quite a full thing. I think I'm just lazy, you know. I just gotta have some ideas and take them to fruition. So I don't know. But the temptation is always like to rely on Logic Pro automation. Like, say, I'll just take this, I'll just shift it down a few tones or randomize the pitches and then do a scale quantize and just see what comes out. And hopefully I'll like it. And it's like, oh, say, I made this. I totally made this, even though it was just a randomization. So that's always my trap, I think. But maybe the trap for many electronic music makers is to rely on the software automation for stuff. And just say, oh, this sounds good enough, or I kind of like the way this turned out. This randomization is cool, which is a legitimate kind of artistic technique in a way, is to rely on that chance or randomization. But I think like a lot of things in contemporary art, that can really easily segue into just laziness. Like you don't want to put the effort in, so you rely on these things that have been legitimized by the culture of contemporary art. And it's a big trap. It's a trap, as Admiral Akbar says. Somebody called him General Akbar, and I guess that's true. He was promoted. I don't know. General Akbar. But I like Admiral Akbar. Sounds better. It's got that two A's. Chainsaw. Berlin Experience is notorious for sounding rather fart-like in the low end. So, yeah. I mean, really, that's kind of a keyboard, an electronic keyboard conceit, is that you expect your instrument to sound good on the full range of pitches from, like, God knows, A-1, whatever it goes to, all the way up to C8 or something, or C9, I think, is maybe the highest, as highest as it goes. Like, here, let's just do a new track. Software instrument, empty channel strip, library, Pioneer, Steinway Grand. Okay, so let's knock it all the way down. That is just theoretical. I mean, this doesn't exist. I mean, I've been through this many times. Kind of sounds like Hellraiser.
Kirsty, We've been waiting for you.
That doesn't exist either. That exists. And I think this... That's the A1. That's where the piano ends, the 88-key piano ends. But there are, let's see, like, I don't know, 20, maybe roughly 20 notes below this that you can go where it doesn't resample anything. It just pitch shifts the note down. And you can already tell it sounds unnatural. Like, no piano sounds like that. And I think even if you somehow had a piano-like instrument that had a string that vibrated at that frequency, it would not sound like that. That's as low as I can get my keyboard. I've got a 61-key keyboard, but it's got these buttons that'll shift the octaves down. So I don't know how many that totally makes it. I don't know. I'm bad at maths. So let's shift all the octaves all the way up as high as they can go. Now here. So that is the highest note, and that's so high that you can hear like the sonic artifacts of like the keys more than you can a pitch of a note. There's a tiny little chirp of a squeak in there inside all those various different sounds that is the actual note. You can hear it more now. The squeak. And I don't know, I think that may be the highest a natural 88-key piano goes is around there. And then they do the same thing, they pitch shift it up, and it just starts to sound bizarre. Because like the echo and like just the simulated sound of the key being pressed down starts to be more apparent than like any kind of pitch is in there. Like I'll play that high note again. Put the octaves back in normal. That's how high it normally goes with my octaves on the normal setting. Let's shift them up one. That note may exist or it may not. Like, let's see. Actually, like I can see what C this is if I select the editor and scroll up way far. That's C8. Also goes up. Okay, so this, yeah. Interesting. But that's as high as Logic Pro will allow you to go. So that's a little bit past C, D, E, F. That's G9. Supposedly, that's a G9. I mean, I can't tell. I can barely hear a pitch in there. But anyway. So I've got 10 seconds left of show. Thank you very much for listening. I'll be back with you next week. I ended too early. Now I got to fill 5 seconds.